Eclipse goes tango uniform. Airlines are putting more planes in mothballs. And a household name comes out against LASP. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 25th, 2009. It looks like the end of the road for both Eclipse Aviation and for Eclipse Jet, the new company formed by eTurk to take over the assets of the bankrupt Lightjet Pioneer. ANN received reports late yesterday afternoon that an ad hoc committee of three Eclipse creditors decided delays blamed by eTurk on paperwork meant closing the sale was unlikely to ever happen, claiming CEO Roel Pieper was a no-show for a promised Saturday conference call to confirm the required Russian financing was in place. The creditors decided to ask the court to expedite a conversion of the company's debtor-in-possession funding scheme to a straight-up Chapter 7 liquidation. A little after 8 Eastern time last night, we obtained a copy of a memo to affected employees and associates from Mark Borseth and Michael McConnell of Eclipse. It announced the recent furloughs are now permanent, company benefits end on Saturday, there will be no vacation pay, and advised workers to take up any concerns with the bankruptcy court. Quote, "All of the executive management team at Eclipse gives you our most sincere and heartfelt thanks for your tenacity and perseverance in trying to deliver this dream we know as the Eclipse 500. We gave it one heck of a try. We are sorry that it came to this today." Unquote. The only thing we can know for sure now is that the assets of Eclipse, created at an estimated cost of over $1 billion from investors, creditors, and customer deposits, will be for sale now on the courthouse steps. If EclipseJet couldn't get its $28 million offer for those assets financed, what will the new going price be? ANN will keep you posted. Lots of comparisons have been made lately between the current state of the airline business and the dark days following the 9/11 attacks. Here's one more. According to Ascent Worldwide, which tracks this kind of information, a full 11% of the world's airliners are parked right now. The company says 1,167 were sent to sit in boneyards last year alone, raising the total in long-term storage to almost 2,300. The company says further decommissionings this year could raise total mothballings to about 3,000, equaling the 13% of the world fleet idled after 9/11. Chris Seymour, head of market analysis at Ascend, says the only beneficiaries are storage facilities in the American Southwest. Quote, "Storage facilities are already filled with a surplus of older technology 727s, 737s, and MD-80s, many of which will never fly again. However, some younger aircraft and many of the 250 current generation aircraft will eventually be returned to service once the industry recovers." Unquote. He says as airlines take delivery of more new planes during 2009, they'll have to park even more of the old ones to avoid excess capacity. The latest big name to come out against the TSA's large aircraft security program isn't one of the Alphabet groups. Believe it or not, it's Rush Limbaugh. The conservative radio commentator blasted LASP on his national radio show yesterday, noting that Tiger Woods, who has an endorsement deal with NetJets, will have to stop traveling with them to his appearances at PGA tournaments because neither the G4 nor the G550 have a baggage compartment that's both big enough for a set of clubs and inaccessible from the passenger compartment. In a transcript from yesterday's show, Limbaugh continues, quote, "There is obviously no sympathy for this. Nobody's got any sympathy for anybody that flies around on a business jet these days. But it's just one more example of the encroaching loss of freedom and government control over everything," unquote. Worth noting, Limbaugh himself has been known to fly around on a Gulfstream, so the issue is also personal. But he ended the discussion on his show, noting that listeners who've called their senators are brushed off on the premise that, quote, "Sorry, this is national security," unquote. Responding to his producer, who apparently was trying to convince him that opposing such attacks on liberty was his job, Limbaugh replied, quote, "What is my job, Snerdly? My job is to attract the largest audience I can, hold it for as long as I can to charge confiscatory advertising rates, and I'm telling you, in order to do that, you have to have empathy. And I have it, and I understand that people do not want to hear about a bunch of rich guys not being able to take their golf clubs on a jet," unquote. It's hard to tell from a written transcript whether Rush was tongue-in-cheek or not. He often is. It might be more obvious if we could play you the audio, but he wants $67 for that privilege. So I'll include an FMI link in the data block accompanying this AeroCast. You can read the transcript for yourself. It also includes an interaction between Rush and a caller named Scott, who claimed to work for the FAA. Up next on ANN, you'll hear highlights of yesterday's congressional testimony by the crew of Cactus 1549. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 25th. I'm Paul Platt. There was a hearing yesterday in Washington before the House Aviation Subcommittee regarding the Miracle on the Hudson and U.S. Airways Flight 1549. Captain Chesley Sullenberger, First Officer Jeffrey Skiles, the cabin crew, and New York TRACON Controller Patrick Harton all gave statements and responded to questions from lawmakers. The hearing had plenty of feel-good moments, but it also provided a platform for the pilots to make committee members aware of the state of the industry. Captain Sullenberger commented first.
September 11th. Bankruptcies, fluctuating fuel prices, mergers, loss of pensions, and revolving door management teams who have used airline employees as an ATM have left the people who work for the airlines in the United States with extreme economic difficulties. My pay has been cut 40%. My pension, like most airline pensions, has been terminated and replaced by a PBGC guarantee worth only pennies on the dollar.
First Officer Jeff Skiles, from whom we've heard very little till now, echoed the assessment in his testimony.
I myself make about half of what I once made, and I have lost my retirement to a PBGC promise. Many pilots work two jobs. I myself am a general contractor. Sully does consulting. We work 7 days a week, and we split our focus between our two careers to maintain our middle-class lifestyles.
We also got to hear from Patrick Harton, who's been an FAA controller for 10 years. His is the remarkably calm voice we heard on the audio recordings from that day. Calm, but not unaffected.
It may sound strange, but for me, the hardest, most traumatic part of the entire event was when it was over. It felt like hours before I learned about the heroic water landing Captain Sullenberger and his crew had managed. Even after I learned the truth, I could not shake the image of tragedy in my mind. Every time I saw the survivors on television, I imagined grieving widows. It has taken me over a month for me to be able to see that I did a good job. I returned to work this week, and while it may take some time for me to regain my old confidence, I know I will get there.
You know, these congressional hearings sometimes appear to be at least as much about publicity opportunities for lawmakers as they are for hearing testimony from experts, and this one was no different. Full committee chairman James Oberstar gave a dramatic recitation of the recent history of airline crashes. There was almost 20 minutes consumed by opening comments of congressmen before Captain Sullenberger was finally recognized. We've come to expect that kind of thing. But there was also a remarkable moment of grandstanding by John Micah of Florida, the ranking Republican on the Aviation Subcommittee, who pursued Harton, the controller, on why he didn't see geese on his radar. Warning, you're going to want to punch something when you hear this.
Now, I'm told that sometimes air traffic controllers dumb down the equipment, the radar equipment, to eliminate some of the clutter.
What do you mean, dumb down?
Well, that you couldn't detect certain objects. I'm told Canadian geese, 12 to 24 pounds, and is that normally detectable?
Not often. Sometimes you can see a primary target on the scope with the large
NTSB
bird.
Has seen the records of... Do those records also record the level at which... any clutter is removed from the screen?
Yes, they would have that information.
Okay, so that's with them now.
Next week, we'll present highlights from yesterday's testimony in the Aero News special feature. Listen for lessons from Flight 1549 starting on Tuesday. Still ahead, a huge disappointment for NASA. A few closing notes from Healy Expo. And where to find details on how to fight LASP. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 25th. I'm Paul Plagg. A NASA satellite carrying sensitive instruments to measure greenhouse gases in the atmosphere lifted off from Vandenberg Air Force Base at 4:55 a.m. Eastern Time Tuesday morning. The bad news is, it apparently entered liquid orbit off Antarctica a short time later. NASA has a formal investigation underway, but says a clamshell shroud designed to protect the satellite during its rough trip up through the Earth's atmosphere apparently failed to detach, and the resulting drag prevented the Taurus XL rocket from achieving orbital velocity. The satellite and its launch vehicle was built by Orbital Sciences Corporation of Dulles, Virginia, at a cost of $273 million. NASA will look for answers into what went wrong before the scheduled launch of GLORY, another environmental monitoring satellite currently scheduled for October atop another Taurus rocket. Before the official closing of Healy Expo 2009 yesterday in Anaheim, Sikorsky Aircraft made a point to recognize Helijet International Incorporated for achieving an accident-free 140,000 fleet-hour milestone with its S-76A helicopters. The achievement was logged on February 15th. A Sikorsky customer for more than two decades, Helijet currently operates five S-76As and one S-61, along with several other helicopters and Learjet aircraft. Helijet is North America's largest scheduled helicopter airline and a major provider of air ambulance services as well as numerous charter operations in the tourism and recreational markets, all within the province of British Columbia. The economy has led to a lot less flying going on, but Ken Roberts, president of the Rolls-Royce helicopter engine business, made a bold prediction at Healy Expo. He says the company not only isn't backing down from its pre-recession 10-year forecast for sales made in 2008, but says the company has actually upped it for 2009. The engine maker now estimates 15,000 turbine helicopters will be delivered during the 10-year period, with an overall value near $130 billion, an engine value about $12 billion. Even the projections for the civil market are up about 5% from last year to 9,000 airframes worth $26 billion and engines worth $4 billion. So what will drive the civilian market? Roberts says, quote, with the oil and gas industry, police, air ambulance, and defense ministries all looking for new purpose-built aircraft, the demand for and benefits of helicopter usage are clear, unquote. And in our final note today, if you heard Max Trescott on yesterday's Aero News special feature and were moved to put in your 2 cents worth on the TSA's proposed large aircraft security program, we want you to know that Max has contributed some additional detail in text form, and you can read it now at aero-news.net. In particular, Max has listed all the members of the U.S. Senate who sit on the Aviation Operations, Safety, and Security Subcommittee, along with their states. Max believes that contacting these lawmakers is an even higher priority than filing a comment with the TSA by Friday's deadline. But why not do both? If you live in Arkansas, California, Florida, Hawaii, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, New Jersey, North Dakota, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, or West Virginia, take a moment and contact your senator, even if Rush Limbaugh says nobody will care. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. Bob finds fault with TSA screening and discusses the issues surrounding airport privatization in California. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.